You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 20th, 2021. Hear this. President Biden officially backing the plan to make Washington, D.C. our 51st state of the union. No surprise. And, of course, he's urging Congress to pass that legislation, H.R. 51, that would give Washingtonians long overdue full representation and make D.C. the 51st state of the union. Which means two senators, which means they'll be Democrat, and they're still talking about Puerto Rico. By the way, as they're moving forward on what should be done about this bill to federalize our elections, Georgia voting rights activist Stacey Abrams was put before the Senate Judiciary Committee being questioned. And Senator Lindsey Graham, one of those questioning her, and said, my question, do you support voter identification laws? Her response, voter identification laws? Yes. There are 35 states in the U.S. that have had voter identification laws. In fact, every state requires some form of identification. So she's accepting voter ID unless it's in her state. Is that what she's saying? Senator Graham also asked, do you support the idea that voting should be limited to American citizens? She said, yes. That's not going to fly with those who are counting on these illegals getting a chance to vote. We finally get a report on the death on U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. The story was from the left-wing media constantly, and there was never any evidence that he was pummeled to death, his skull savagely bashed in with a fire extinguisher by the pro-Trump mob on January 6th. Never any proof of it. He did get hit, apparently, with bear spray. That also was not to blame for his death. He told his brother by phone later that night, I'm fine. But he ended up dying. He had two strokes, natural causes, the day after. There goes that false narrative. And, of course, we got Maxine Waters of the streets of Minnesota Sunday night saying we want justice. The only way we see justice in the Derek Chauvin, George Floyd case is guilty, guilty, guilty. And if not, we need to get more confrontational in the street. Today, President Biden, speaking briefly with reporters, said, I'm, quote, praying the verdict is the right verdict. Well, that's what we want, is the right, correct verdict. He would not speak specifically about what Maxine Waters said. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was asked, do you think Waters should apologize? Nancy's response, no. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell taking the Senate floor, calling out Waters for her, quote, inappropriate conduct, calling for more confrontation in the street. He says it's hard to imagine anything any more inappropriate than a member of Congress flying in from California to inform local leaders, not so subtly, this defendant better be found guilty or else there's going to be big trouble in the streets. In the meantime, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy said, I'm going to move to censure the Congresswoman. If she is successfully censured by the House, they could invoke House Rule 25, which would strip her of her ability to serve as chairwoman of the Financial Services Committee. And there are apparently some Democrats willing to go along with that because they know they've got to deal with the election coming up. And make note of this. I've told you previously, we're going to talk about it more in the next hour as well, or I should say in the next segment of this hour. While Congresswoman Maxine Waters is out there vilifying police and insisting we have to have a guilty verdict, we have to have a guilty verdict, she made a direct request as she came in from her flight landing from Dulles International, Minnesota, St. Paul. She wants police escort in Minneapolis over the weekend. On the way in, while she's there, and the way out. Yep, she wants her police protection. And this is a story I cannot fathom why the leftists go along with this that claim to be Jewish. Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren want the U.S. to restrict aid to Israel. They're saying if we hold back military money for Israel, then maybe they will increase leverage and they will begin to be more peaceful. How about you simply endorse the Abraham Accords that Trump got passed through, those nations that signed on to that? And Chuck Schumer, Senator Majority Leader in the Senate, you got two of your senators, and you're Jewish, as you do know, I assume, Chuck Schumer. You're going to go along with this, cutting aid to Israel? This reinforces that Trump has been the strongest Israeli supporter we've ever had. Oh, word from Florida. The Polk County Sheriff in Florida says, hey, you guys coming down from the north, welcome to Florida, but don't register to vote and vote the stupid way you did up north. You get what you got then. Don't come down here and be voting stupid.
Connors USA News and Commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old Studley Roy. And the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm aware of the media reports. I'm aware that Congresswoman Waters was talking specifically about this trial and about the unacceptability of anything less than a murder conviction and talk about being confrontational, but you can submit the press articles about that. This goes back to what I've been saying from the beginning. I wish elected officials would stop talking about this case, especially in a manner that is disrespectful to the rule of law and to the judicial branch and our function.
Absolutely. Those are the words of Judge Peter Cahill, who's overseeing the Derek Chauvin trial and the death of George Floyd. And he's making it clear that the remarks yesterday, or Sunday actually, from U.S. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat of California, not Minnesota, that decided to fly in and meet the crowds in the street and say we must have the verdict we want, or else there will be, without saying the next words, hell to pay. But they got the message. They understand it. Well, I'll let you hear it again in a moment. But here's a judge. He's having to deal with, of course, making sure this is a fair and impartial trial. This judge is not considered by any stretch of the imagination a conservative. And he probably, if you're going to decide a political side, he's going to be more liberal. But he's actually trying to be the judge, which is what his duty is. To be the judge. Here come the judge. And this time he says what she did was wrong. And he's suggesting it might even lead to overturning any verdict that comes out. A mistrial entirely. And Maxine Waters, Her response when she was questioned about, well, the judge is basically calling you out, Maxine Waters. See, it's one thing when she's in the street talking to the crowd, and she's facing repercussions from Republican legislators and, of course, some Democrats, although they're being very, very careful here because they need to say which way the wind's going to blow the hardest, because they got Nancy Pelosi already saying, when she's asked, should Waters apologize, Nancy Pelosi says, no. You think any action should be taken against Congresswoman Waters? No. Excuse me, I have to go to my freezer and get some sorbet, a 65-gallon carton of pint size of my sorbet. I'm very busy right now. No, she does not want anything, and she's just not going to care about it right now because they want to forget it. Now, Joe Biden, of course, being the president, can he totally forget it? Yesterday, Jen Psaki from the White House said, the president's all about justice. And then today, he actually spoke to some reporters briefly and said, I'm praying for the right verdict. Well, probably the better term is I'm praying for peace after the verdict. By right verdict, if you mean that Chauvin has to be convicted before it's right, and I don't mean just convicted on one charge like manslaughter, but convicted of murder that carries the maximum with first-degree murder, 40 years. And we still don't know. And there have been so many cases and issues that have come forward during the course of this trial. You probably have not been able to sit and watch it every day. I certainly haven't. I've picked up bits and pieces, as you probably have. And I doubt Biden has been on top of it every step of the way, nor Congresswoman Waters. But I would tend to think that Congresswoman Waters and some of the others like that would just went in with a predetermined guilty. I would be the first to say when the video surfaced last May and we were seeing Derek Chauvin's knee on the back of George Floyd as he's already handcuffed, face down on the pavement, and we're told that the knee was there for 9+ minutes, I condemn that. Absolutely. See, I rushed to judgment based on that video. Turns out we were told the knee was in that position for the full 9 minutes. Turns out it wasn't. According to numerous pieces of video, both by bystanders, police cams, and everything else, the knee was often on the back of the shoulder. Now, if he's saying I can't breathe, does that help him? That's going to be something to determine. And, of course, his health at the time. And was he on drugs? Had he had prior instances? And all of those do count when it comes to do you find the guy guilty of first-degree homicide? The man died in his under his knee, one way or the other, or did not die at the time, but went into great distress and died shortly thereafter. So, yeah, it's worth inquiring and finding out. He insists I followed the proper training. And it was not a chokehold. I've heard people say chokehold. It was not a chokehold. If Floyd had been face up and the knee had been into his neck at that point, I would definitely say you're cutting off his ear for sure. Now, at the back of the neck, and there are many times, police officers tell you there are many times you are going to have a suspect complain of some issue when they're really just looking for a way to get out, get a little loose, maybe take advantage of you, or maybe they know they made a bad mistake and they're trying to get out of it. All that's for a jury to decide. They've seen every piece of evidence. My understanding, it's out of the jurors, there's 6 white and there's 6 black and are mixed race. It should not be decided on race, obviously. It should be decided on the facts of the case. But again, Maxine Waters flying in from California, standing in the street the other day. This is what Judge Cahill was upset with. Just listen.
We're looking for a guilty verdict. We're looking for a guilty verdict, and we're looking to see if all of the talk that took place and has been taking place after they saw what happened to George Floyd, if nothing does not happen, then we know that we've got to not only stay in the street, but we've got to fight for justice. But I am very hopeful, and I hope that we're going to get a verdict that say guilty, guilty, guilty.
Up to that point, you could excuse and accept it. She's a citizen, a congresswoman, but she's a citizen, and sure, she can go. There's no law that says she cannot go to Minneapolis and make any remarks she wants to, even if she doesn't represent that particular constituency, and saying we want justice, we want this, but then when she says if we want a verdict of guilty, 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 I mean, she's making it very clear. Anything less than that is not going to be justice. And those around her certainly will buy that storyline. So Judge Cahill, again, trying to find some ways to carefully parse his words about Congresswoman Maxine Waters and the damage she might have done to the trial as a whole, regardless of which verdict comes out. Because he's got defense attorneys saying, are you seeing this, Judge? This kind of stuff? Now, he's had the jury sequestered. Supposedly, they had not been seeing and watching. But what if one of them did? And what if word gets to them one way or the other that what she's saying and the attitude, will that sway them one way or the other? The remarks of Judge Cahill.
I think if they want to give their opinions, they should do so in a respectful and in a manner that is consistent with their oath to the Constitution to respect the co-equal branch of.
Let me back that up. I didn't do a very good job of setting that up. We're going to start that again. When he said if they, I was talking about the jurors at the end. He is now talking about any member of Congress, any political person, if they want to come out and make a statement. So again, in set in the proper context for you, Judge Cahill referenced Congresswoman Maxine Waters and anyone else that wants to go out in the street and make a speech.
I think if they want to give their opinions, they should do so in a respectful and in a manner that is consistent with their oath to the Constitution. To respect a co-equal branch of government. Their failure to do so, I think, is abhorrent, but I don't think it is prejudiced with additional material that would prejudice this jury. They have been told not to watch the news. I trust they are following those instructions and that there is not in any way a prejudice to the defendant beyond the articles that we're talking specifically about the facts of this case. A congresswoman's opinion really doesn't matter a whole lot.
I like that last statement. Maxine Waters, your opinion really doesn't matter a whole lot. Well, keep in mind, he's trying to preserve the integrity of that trial up to this point. He's got to listen to defense arguments along that point, and he says a jury has been instructed not to watch TV, not to pick up on news accounts. I trust they have done that. There will be a polling. There will be a polling, as they call it, at the end. Regardless, especially if the verdict goes against Chauvin for any part, they're going to ask and want specifics of what did you hear, how did you hear it, and what went down. Because you got to keep in mind, Congresswoman Waters in the street, again, making it very clear there's only one verdict that should be expected, only one verdict that would satisfy. Anything else would be short of justice. Congresswoman Waters.
Guilty, guilty, guilty. And if we don't, we cannot go away.
And not just manslaughter, right? I mean...
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No, no, no. This is guilty for murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
Congressman, what happens if we do not get what you just told? What should the people do? What should protesters on the street do?
I didn't hear you.
What happens?
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we need business.
Got to get more confrontational. If you're going to get more confrontational, what comes to your mind? Does that mean they're going to sit around a table and talk a lot more, or are they going to get in the streets and get confrontational? Now, I don't know how the Democrats are in their new lexicon describe that word compared to words like crisis and unity when they don't really understand those words anymore. But confrontation means right in the face of the police. And, of course, you're going to have businesses and citizens threatened and everything else. I pray it does not happen like that. And in the meantime, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell took to the floor of Senate, referenced what Waters said. He said, it is hard to imagine anything more inappropriate than a member of Congress flying in from California to inform local leaders, not so subtly, that this defendant had better be found guilty or else there's going to be big trouble in the streets. And you also have in the House the GOP leader Kevin McCarthy saying, I'm going to formally produce a censure order against Congresswoman Waters, and if it's successful, which would require Democrat support, she would be censured by the House. She could face a Rule 25, which would remove her as chairwoman of the Financial Services Committee. A censure basically is a slap on the wrist. It's not an expulsion. It's just basically a public shaming. Put a scarlet letter on her, as if it would make any difference to her. And then you get those on the various sides, specifically on the progressive side, making excuses for her. I think Joy Reid had even been quoted at one point. Well, I don't think she really meant what she said. And then you get CNN and Don Lemon Fruitcake and his remark. His remark is just unbelievable. He said, Maxine Waters is not calling for violence. Everyone knows that. She makes a lot of people uncomfortable, especially a lot of men, and quite frankly, especially a lot of white men, because she puts them in their place. She tells them, shut up, which she did do the other day to Congressman Jim Jordan when he was questioning Fauci. But then you've got the statement by Don Lemon Fruitcake saying that she did not make any constructive remarks, but you still cannot say that she was handing ammunition to her enemies and said that she's not the issue here. He said, was it wrong for her to share? Yeah, she needs to be more responsible. He's even acknowledging that. But he said, I think most people with half a brain knows that she's not encouraging violence and looting and arson. There's the key. Don Lemon Fruitcake admitting. Most of those with half a brain know she's not encouraging that. Well, Don Lemon Fruitcake, in my opinion, many of those with half a brain are exactly the ones she's appealing to. They're not rational. They're not looking at justice. They're looking at what do we get? And if we don't get it, somebody's going to pay. Anderson Coppermouth had an interview with movie producer Tyler Perry. It did not go the way he wanted, not the way he expected. On policing, stand by.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You got to understand this. I'm not for taking money for the police department. I think we need more police. My studio is in a neighborhood where I think we need police, but we don't need police that have or that are undertrained. And you got to understand, I have really close friends who are police officers that I love dearly, who are really good people who have been very, very hurt by this as well. And here's what I want you to understand, Anderson. Wrong, where there's wrong, I'm going to stand up against it.
Those are the words of Tyler Perry, a movie producer with his studios, by the way, in Atlanta, Georgia. And when all the folks, the MLB, was pulling out of Atlanta because of the Georgia new voter integrity law and the lies were being pushed around it, well, people can't even get food or drink on the line, which is an out-and-out lie. And the let me correct that again. I don't like saying mainstream media. The state-controlled media has yet to actually put out the facts. And they talk about it's going to hurt odds or chances to vote. They're going to have more voting days of the state of Georgia than Biden's home state of Delaware and even New York State. But when all those corporations began to speak out against it, Coca-Cola based in Atlanta and Delta Airlines, and as I said, the MLB pulling up and going to Denver for the All-Star game, Tyler Perry said, no, I'm going to stay right here. We're not going to move out of Atlanta. I've always respected this man in so many different ways. He, in 2011, Forbes listed him as the highest paid man in entertainment, earning something like $130 million. But I don't respect him just for that or just his movie. From what I've seen of his life and some of the things, I mean, I haven't seen anything really damaging. And anybody that has anything to do with movies in Hollywood, you have to say they might have some problems. But he also, by the way, was named in Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People of 2020. And Cottonmouth, Anderson Cooper, had him on CNN to talk about the problem with policing. Well, you heard Tyler Perry. The problem is not that, is how they're trained. He said, I got a lot of good friends, a lot of good friends that want protection. They don't want to be ignored and left unprotected, and we just want officers better trained. So that's what it comes down to, and I second his remarks. Again, the words of Tyler Perry.
There are a lot of people in America who feel the way that I do. right? I think we need the police. I know that I need the police. I have several that work for me here at the studio. We need them, but we need them reformed. We need them trained well. We need the right structure, right? But some of the things inside of Defund the Police, I really understand, like having officers who are clinically trained to deal with certain situations. I think all of those things are helpful. But taking money from the police department to make the police department smaller, that troubles me.
Yeah, and it should. And in fact, a 2020 Gallup survey, 2020, revealed 61% of African Americans want policing to remain the same. And among those who've had some kind of interaction with police in that Gallup survey, 79% of Black Americans want the cops to spend more or the same amount of time in their neighborhood because they know that stops a lot of the gang action. 79%. If you live in that neighborhood, you want police in there as often as possible, and you defund, those communities are going to be hurt the worst, and the training that goes with it. And as you heard Tyler Perry say, yeah, train some of these officers to handle some of these situations that might be outside their normal. That's all good. But you know what the L.A. mayor's proposing they do? Yeah, well, I can't even get into it now. I'll do it before we wrap this hour. But coming up, Laura Reese of the Heritage Foundation, that if we continue the death of law and order, we are destroying this nation. Is that what we want? No. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I have an update for you. I have an update, and this happened during that commercial break. The word coming out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, jurors have reached a decision in the Chauvin trial. They have a decision. They're going to announce it at 3:30 Central Time, less than an hour from now, if they hold to that time frame. And, of course, we will be off the air. Obviously, tomorrow we'll be responding to whatever it is and what happens following that verdict. And in Maxine Waters' comments, served to get the crowd juiced up to cause more problems and confrontations, we're going to find out. And, of course, we'll see what the verdict is first. Now, all of this, of course, is an assault on law and order if we're not going to pay attention to what the court says and accept the ruling. And to that point, joining us now, Laura Reese with the Heritage Foundation, expert in Homeland Security. Glad to have you on board again, Laura.
Thanks, Larry, for having me on.
So you heard me just then reporting that the verdict should come down in less than an hour to be officially announced. What kind of reaction are you expecting in the streets of Minnesota? We got 500 National Guard troops in that region. Illinois sent another 150 National Guard troops, in addition to state police and county police gathering.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think rioting has so become the norm that there's going to be rioting no matter what the jury decides on this. They're just so charged. And leaders at the very top, I mean, even President Biden today said he's praying for a right verdict and the evidence is overwhelming. So they really stir the pot on this. And I think we're going to see the fallout from it no matter what the jury decides.
And what is your reaction to Maxine Waters making her statements the other day, and then, of course, the retort by the judge?
Her statement is completely irresponsible as a leader. Unfortunately, it's a pattern for her, going back to the Rodney King riots, where she stirred up civil unrest then. She did it during the Trump administration when she told people to get up in the faces of Trump cabinet members. And again, it's we're seeing it almost every day. In Portland, there have been riots almost every night for the past year. And these leaders, while, you know, for example, President Biden occasionally will give lip service that there shouldn't be violence or there shouldn't be looting, and yet their actions are very different.
That's an excellent point. Excellent point. And again, folks, you're listening to Laura Reese, Heritage Foundation expert in Homeland Security, and a piece you wrote, by the way, dealing with that, saying that the death of law and order is destroying America. And you just pointed out in Portland, Antifa rioting almost nightly for nearly a year. How in the hell are they going to go on living like that in that area? And folks are, in fact, moving out and abandoning the area.
Well, it's completely understandable. These leaders, unfortunately, unless something affects them personally or their power or their pocketbook, they don't change their positions. We saw a few, like the Seattle mayor last year dealing with Chaz when she herself was personally affected. She changed her position and increased law enforcement a little bit. And guess what happened? It worked.
And because they went to her house. That's the only thing. They started demonstrating at her house. That's the only thing that changed it.
Exactly. So until some of these other leaders like Maxine Waters have their power taken away or are personally affected, and God knows I'm not calling for violence against anybody, but that it seems to be that's what it takes for people to change their positions on this.
Now, in the midst of that, in the midst of Portland, Seattle, and others, we've had cases where officers have basically been told, stand down, just stand back, let them do what they, and even Nancy Pelosi at one point said, well, the folks are going to do what they want to do.
Well, and that goes back clear to Ferguson, Missouri. I mean, we know for years that just letting them, burn off steam, so to speak, does not work. It just encourages more rioting and more looting. And it requires a show of force and prosecutions and punishment consequences to shut this down. And we're seeing a very different treatment to the January 6th Capitol riots as compared to what's been going on in Portland. We know that the local Portland County prosecutor has thrown out most of the cases brought against the rioters and looters there. So supposedly in the interest of justice, and we are now seeing that the federal prosecutions are being thrown out as well from Portland.
You know, we had, and we had yesterday, the word came out, and it did not get a lot of attention on, as I call it now, state-controlled media, in the sense that a severed pig's head and blood was smeared on the door of a witness who had supposedly testified on behalf of Derek Chauvin, and the mainstream media, state-controlled media, just ignored it. Now, if that had been done to someone testifying on behalf of the prosecution to convict Chauvin, that would have been headline material for them wall-to-wall until they had the verdict.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, witnesses are being intimidated. The jurors are being intimidated. Some have no problem doxing and releasing public or personal information in a public manner, really endangering lives. Until these people are punished for doing this, it's going to continue. There need to be consequences applied through prosecutions and punishment.
And that is a point that, again, where are the arrests? Where's the bail of arson? All these cases. I mean, again, as you point out, at one time setting fire to the facility, knowing people were inside.
Yeah, it's they have no regard for life, and these same people who are being bailed out every night, and they just return to riot and loot again. It escalates, it spreads, and it's continuous, and it doesn't look like we are going to see President Biden or Vice President Harris crack down on this. They could easily tell their leaders throughout their country, you know, stop doing this, prosecute it, apply consequences, and this would stop, but they are not doing it.
So we have the leadership, and we have the general public, and we have the media, and then we also have the officers on the front line. And to that extent, I was reading some quotes earlier today from former Milwaukee Sheriff Clark, and he said, there's another part in play here that's being damaged, and that is police officers. Police officers are saying, you know, why should I do something that might be caught on a cell camera and misedited or improperly presented that vilifies me and makes me out to be a racist or someone who just wants to go out and kill minorities? And the officers are having to decide, do I even want to stay on the force, much less do I want to deal with what's out in the street?
It's completely understandable. The morale is terrible. They're in a no-win situation. They're retiring early. They're resigning. And so, you know, people who clamor to defund the police, in effect, they're achieving that result when they continue to label all police as racist and describe the institution as racist. For example, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, after the Dante Wright episode, said, you know, she's done with this. No more policing, incarceration. It can't be reformed. Did she view her police security, the protection that she receives at the Capitol and elsewhere, as racist as well?
Sure.
Or are they not racist when they are protecting her?
Same thing with Congresswoman Waters. I mean, she demanded that she wants police protection in while she's there and out of the town. So she wants police around her at that time, which is understandable. But then while you're out there vilifying the police, and another incident that happened that, you know, we finally got the verdict, the autopsy, I should say, on Officer Sicknick, and we now know it was a full lie. He died of two strokes, had nothing to do with being hit by a fire extinguisher or even sprayed by any kind of bear repellent. But 2 weeks ago, we had a Nation of Islam follower ram into a Capitol barrier, killing one Capitol officer, injuring another, and that's just been kind of forgotten by the state-controlled media.
Yes, too many police are being ambushed or targeted, and it depends on the narrative. It depends on race, unfortunately, for too many, for the media and for others, and they will quickly stop talking about a case if it does not fit their narrative. The Nation of Islam attacker at the Capitol is one such example.
Before you joined us, I was running a clip of Tyler Perry, the movie producer, has his studios in Atlanta, and he said, I'm not going to leave Atlanta like others are pulling out. I'm going to stay here. And he was in doing an interview with CNN Anderson Cooper. And basically he was saying that, you know, we want good policing. He said, and many of them are friends. We need police. We don't want to have them leave our community. We just want to make sure they're properly trained. And I think everyone will second that.
Absolutely. And Kamala Harris, when she was the Attorney General in California, you know, she wrote a book along those lines exactly, that, you know, police are valuable. They protect our communities, and communities want more police and more protection. But they get wrapped up in this political bent of it and unfortunately are using it for political purposes. And it just sows division among America, and it is not good for our country or for our community's security.
If we continue at this rate, you're talking about the losing law and order will destroy America. In the last 15 seconds, how optimistic are you we turn the corner and save the country?
Again, until these leaders, I think, are personally affected, it does not look like they are going to change course. And they're just going to continue to give occasional lip service that violence is bad and looting is bad.
All right. I appreciate it, Laura. Thank you very much. We'll do it again.
Thank you.
You bet. Laura Reese with the Heritage Foundation. So now, coming up, what the L.A. police are going to be facing.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Yeah,
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If the death of law and order does lead to the destruction of America, there are certain hot spots you can point to, California being one of them. L.A. County had cut its gain in narcotics unit by half under the new George Soros-backed L.A. County District Attorney, George Gascon, who's pursuing a drastic agenda, criminal justice reform. And L.A. Mayor Garcetti announcing, of course, that he was cutting the police department budget by $150 million in reaction to the demands of BLM and redistributing that $150 million to communities of color. Now he's come up with another plan for his police department. He's saying we need to use therapy rather than policing in some nonviolent emergencies. That's part of his State of the City speech. He said, I oppose efforts to abolish the police. But he said the burden of police work could be handled by other agencies, such as the Therapeutic Unarmed Response for Neighborhoods. They got a fancy name for it, TURN, T-U-R-N, Therapeutic Unarmed Response for Neighborhoods. For instance, he said, when situations don't need guns, let's don't send guns. For instance, if it's someone that's mentally unbalanced, but they're not violent, at that time, we should say, at that time, they're not violent. Let's send in social workers, basically, to gather them up, talk to them, and bring them back safely to a facility where we can deal with them. Do you want your daughter or your son or any member of your family serving on one of those teams to go out and deal with mentally deranged people, trying to get them to come in and not have police even at least stand by? I mean, if you're not going to send guns, that means no police officer even going to stand by. Yeah, you may go and send a team worker to go talk to them, but if things get out of hand, what are they supposed to do then? And then we got the Gain Reduction and Youth Development Program, GRID, G-R-Y-D. Contracted community intervention workers who often have experienced life of gangs but now want to help heal, to mentor young people. Stop violence before it starts, so they want to put more spending on community mediators. In other words, folks in the community, hey, yeah, give me one of those. I could take a contract. I was in the gang life, but now I can talk to them. I can relate to them. And that may work in some areas. But by doing that, they're giving a budget of a $33 million to that budget to expand the corps of 80 new peace ambassadors to do all of this. And again, no more money for police. Would Garcetti like to go out into some police calls, quote, routine traffic stops and walk in without a gun? And there have been those proposing, maybe we just don't let police officers take their guns to a car. Leave the gun in the car when they go talk somebody if it's just going to be a traffic stop. And how many times has that suddenly turned into a violent confrontation? Way too often. This is not even common sense, but I think clearly in many cases, they're past common sense. An officer, regardless of their color, their religion, their age, if they're there to serve justice, that's what they're going to do, and they're going to do it the best of their ability. But you're going to continue to literally handcuff them. That's not going to help them. And in communities where you got some problems going on that, well, we're not even going to send officers in because there's been no shooting, no real violence, so we can send in these community philosophers, until one of them is killed, or more. This is not making the community safer. It's assuaging, bowing down to progressives who really, in their end, want to get rid of all policing. As I told you earlier, a verdict has been reached in the Derek Chauvin trial. We have at least 500 National Guard troops in that Minnesota area. Illinois, the governor of Illinois sent about 150 more National Guard troops to back them up. Numerous police agencies, state, city, and county, are gathered around that region. And we're told the verdict had been reached about 50 minutes ago or so, and they're going to announce it here at 3:30 Central Time. We will obviously be off the air. This might be one of the most watched verdicts since the O.J. Simpson case, to see what happens. And part of it is because of that video showing Derek Chauvin, the officer at that time, putting his knee to the back of George Floyd's neck. It was an atrocious-looking picture. And we were led to believe he did like that for 9+ minutes. But the facts apparently presented to the jury, by even including the prosecution, having to admit, no, it wasn't for all that time. That may reduce any charge. But you got Maxine Waters, Congresswoman Waters, saying, guilty, 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 and she will not accept a lesser verdict such as manslaughter. We hope and pray that the city in that area will stay intact. And even if they don't like the verdict, where is the justice and what good is it going to do if you burn and destroy businesses, many times minority businesses, and you assault and hurt people and more people are endangered? By this time tomorrow, it'll be very clear. In fact, it may be clear 1 hour from now. The verdict's supposed to be released in the next 30 minutes. Pray that it can come down and we don't have this explosion that leads to death and violence. I do appreciate you listening as always. Remember, you can check out Larry Connors USA YouTube, LarryConnorsUSA.com, website LarryConnorsUSA.com. See and hear all of these programs on podcast. We will be back tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.